Good morning, everybody. What a day. I tell you, I was thinking about the revival a little bit. The thought of James crossed my mind. James out there in Texas, by the way.
Oh, I'm about to turn James.
And it made me laugh. We had a good time out there. Praise the Lord. But you know, I haven't been feeling well this week. But praise the Lord, we're here. We did Saturday night. It was nice to see all you guys Saturday night. And you know, I was kind of going through Scripture this morning, kind of thinking about, you know, what the Lord would have for us today. And you know, in the midst of not feeling that great, and knowing my shortcomings, knowing my faults, knowing my struggles. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done. You know, I have nothing. I have nothing except His righteousness and walking in that. That's all. That's it in a nutshell right there. You know, He did the work. You're talking about standing firm in Jesus' victory. He's already won it, man. He's already won it. We stand in that. We're in victory.
Amen.
Good. I had a couple of things I was reading through. One's Romans. I think Romans 10. Starting verse 1, it says, "My brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth." To everyone that believeth.
Right.
Look, here is Paul, an apostle of the faith in Christ Jesus, who once walked in the same manner, had a zeal of God, thought he was doing God's will, persecuting Christians.
That's what he said.
You know, he really did. He had a zeal. But it was all about that their own righteousness. That law that the Pharisees clave onto was about a measure of their own righteousness. And that law wasn't even put there for that. The law was put there to see that they needed Christ and His righteousness. You know, and how many times do we go about, you know, I struggled coming up here today. Struggling Saturday night. You know, but this really stuck out to me. Because it's not about my righteousness. Praise God. Praise God. If it was, we'd all be, I'd be screwed. You know? So that's not what we look for. That's not what we seek after. Our hearts believe on the Lord and what He's done, and it's sufficient for us. It's sufficient for Him. He took it all on that cross. Past, present, future sin. It says all sin. And He defeated death. And was resurrected in power. And returned to His throne. In heaven. And that's the victory we walk in. Nothing else. Nothing else. And it's easy. I tell you, it's easy to get swayed one way or another. It's so easy, it's not even funny. I'm going to continue on. "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend in the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's right here. We know it. We have the Lord's word. We have His grace. We receive that grace. It's put in our hearts. And I'm not clear on this matter. I'm not 100% clear. I know there's others out there who teach this a lot better than I can. But I want to continue on. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Believe with all with thine heart. You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit, you know, when this, you know, I'm looking at some situations that are pretty ugly, but I've been looking at when I was here Thursday, I was talking about bless the Lord with all my soul. Now you believe that that sacrifice is sufficient for you, that that covered you, and you walk in that covering every day, and it's a fight, and it's a battle, and it's a struggle. It's a choice, though. Right, Lisa. You said it. It's a choice. As David is saying, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, commanding his soul to believe. The Lord, over all this stuff, all these doubts, all this condemnation that flows down our way, all the condemnation that the enemy throws on you, and you believe. You believe. It's a choice. You know, and the fruit of that belief on Him is your obedience to Him. Your obedience to Him. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Look, if you're believing on Him and trusting in Him and trusting in the sacrifice for you, you will not be ashamed. You won't. But if you don't, you walk around in unbelief. You walk around in your own way. And you're not trusting that His grace is sufficient for you. You're pretty doggone ashamed. No, because I walked it and walked in there before and have, and probably will do again. But I have to set my face back like Flint on Christ and what He's done, and say, thank you, Lord. What do you have for me? I want to serve you. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We've all hit that. Yeah, we can go to Romans 8. We talked about it a little bit last night. I think it's Romans 8. No, it's probably Romans. Anyways, where it says, Christ died while we were yet sinners. And what do we do? Hell, shoot, I was doing it this morning. What do? We called upon the Lord. Lord, help me. I need your grace. Forgive me. And you receive that grace. He's your advocate. What He did on that cross. And He loved you enough to do that. He loved you enough to do that. There's a part I'm looking for, and I haven't got to it yet. Praise the Lord. Maybe it's another scripture. But I think I'm just going to stop there. Kind of cut it short today. Look. It's not about our own righteousness. It talks about in Jeremiah, the Lord our righteousness. He is our righteousness. So let's not get it confused, folks.
Amen.
Let's not get it confused. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, buddy. Send all that coughing and stuff somewhere else. Don't point it at me. I don't need it. When I woke up this morning, kind of bereft of anything to talk about. Didn't really have any idea what I was going to talk about. I had Mark playing in the the audio Bible thing. And one phrase grabbed my attention. I wouldn't even a phrase. It was just a sentence in Mark 9, the last verse. Where he's had a several quotations in this. We had been batting around, you know, what we knew about how hell was presented in Scripture. And it's in here, it's in 44. Where worm dieth not and fire is not quenched. And it says that again in 46 and 48. It's one of those things about repetition. How many witnesses of a thing do you need before you get it? There's so much happening in 8 and 9 and 10. It's like bang, 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 bang. And as you're listening to it, you can miss it. You can miss it so easily. I just really came into the written word here and look at that verse 50. Salt is good, but if salt hath lost its saltiness, wherewith shall ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. That just struck me as very interesting. I've never seen that before. So I went, this is why I opened up. And I started actually looking through all this, and I just heard this stuff, and I'm sitting here going, wow, wow, wow. There's probably 4 or 5 services I could do out of these things. I'm just going to go over a couple of them. We'll see where the Lord takes us. Going back to the conference, I don't remember if it was the first day. It was the first day. It was Luke 14. It was bless you deny father, brother, sister, mother. All that was the first day, I believe. We started at 8:34. When he had called the people unto him, with the disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Somebody needs to tell him. Somebody should have popped up out of the crowd and said, this is not how you work the crowd. They're not going to stay with this kind of stuff. But I'm being funny, of course. I'm trying to anyhow. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also the Son of Man will be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And that's just an interesting sequence. To follow that. In verse 34 and 35. Stuff that you ought to give heed to. And also have the demoniac that his disciples couldn't cast the devil out of. And in 9:35, he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Now, none of this works. This all defies natural progression. It's not how we think. It's not how we've gotten used to operating. But this is kingdom principle here. He took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms and said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. In other words, the Father. John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him because he followed not us. And Jesus said, what'd you do that for? He's not against us, is on our part. And then whoever shall give a cup of cold water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. That's just interesting. It just struck me as very interesting. I don't know why. Whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Wow. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hang about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And you know, in other places, this is a glorious thing. It's some neat promises in here, but the side, over on the side, and over all this stuff is that, you know, God will not be mocked. So you get in line with him, and these great promises you become access to. And here's where, you know, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And we see that quoted over and over and over again, but of course, you know, the hands represent the works, what we do with what we go about day to day doing. And then foot is our paths. What are we following? What sort of path are we following? And you cut off the foot, better to go through life with one foot than be doing business with the worms and the fire. And then the eye, which represents the intellect, the seat of the will. You know, if part of that is dragging you into hell, better to have one eye. You want to get the one that's seeing the stuff it's supposed to be seeing and get rid of the other one, right? There's a lot going on in here. That's nine. And I was looking to the main stuff I couldn't do it without touching those into the setup is actually in 10. But there's, you know, there's a little passage after 10 and 11 that I wanted to hit. So I don't know if we're going to get there or not. I'll see. We'll see what happens here with the Lord. This is where in 10 he has this back and forth with the rich guy, and You know, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says unto him, why callest me good? Well, you didn't start off real well. Because his first response is, you don't have that right. There's not none good but one, that's God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things I've observed from my youth. Yeah, sure, okay. And Jesus nails him, hits him right between the running lights. One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And it takes a little while for the disciples to get around to it. But Jesus looked around about and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, said, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying amongst themselves, who then can be saved? Again, this violates the natural understanding and what everybody comes to suspect is, you know, if we're able to accumulate wealth, and obviously the Lord's blessed your endeavors. And then in the frustration of the natural that the disciples were dealing with, who then can be saved? Who astonished without measure, beyond measure. Peter began to say unto him, lo, we've left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Now all this is a second witness. He just said all this stuff before. The one thing that's different is, and he said it before in Mark, not just in Luke. It was just a little while ago he was talking, we were reading about if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last and servant of all. That was in 9:35. And it was in 8 that we were reading about for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. And that whole sequence there, it's redone here. It's a little bit closer to the one out of Luke, but there's one difference. This one comes tagged with a promise. This one says, there is no man that has left his house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children, lands and persecutions. It's going to all come with it.
Davey said, since he said A needle and not B needle, it shows that he meant a literal needle.
Not camel. Instead of a gate, because the eye of the needle was a gate where it would have to take off all
right.
the stuff and get it.
A little needle. Yeah.
And he's saying,
well, I
no,
wanted to tell
needle.
You that because he's just been in the chat.
Right.
A lot of people confuse that, those two.
Then there's another interesting verse in 10:45. Well, it's really describing disciples who think they have received some teaching and understand, and he really explains to them he does, they don't. And he goes back to 39, and they're boasting, yeah, we can drink of the cup that you're going to drink of, and then baptism that you're baptized with. And, you will. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, for it shall be given to them for whom it's prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John, who were sitting there positioning. You know that, and he's already said, the first shall be last, and last shall be first. You know that they which are counted to rule over Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. Again, whosoever shall be great among you shall be your minister, or servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many.
And that cup he's talking about?
Yeah, that's the cup. That's the cup.
My will be done but yours.
And then, you know, he sends off to get the colt to ride in on. And he goes into the temple and he starts tossing over the tables. This mild man of peace. And the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. You know, we really haven't changed in 2,000 years. You see these guys on TV selling all kinds of crap. And I'm thinking to myself, wouldn't it be funny to watch Jesus come through there and just overturn all these? I'm just saying. I don't know. It just harkens back to this. I don't. Anyhow, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. That's, you know, he's not running and hiding this stuff. If you go in the temple and you start tossing over the tables the money changers, and you astonish everyone, and the ones who thought that was a really good idea, you scare. Then there's 11, and in the 11 with the sequence here, Jesus having a back and forth with the disciples, who are really impressed. Peter's impressed that the fig tree he cursed died. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, there's only one verily there, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You know, this is not quite the Matthew 18 where you're asking for something. This is commanding. This is whatever you speaketh. When you're careful to be operating in his mind and just being obedient, then you carry, your word carries power. And this is just an awesome promise here. You can get to this place. This wasn't just for him and the apostles. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. This goes back to James. You have not, and you ask not. And you, when you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Get your stuff together about understanding why you want this stuff, and you start asking for the right stuff, and you get it. Because your Father wants you to have this stuff. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive yours. That's not something you want to have happen. So you get all this stuff right, and suddenly James chapter 4 is just something to be keeping you, you know, kicking you back into play, and not something that falls down on you like a lead pipe, like an anvil. Just a reminder. This is how this stuff works. It's a promise. He's good to us. He loves us. There's so much going on in these four chapters. Three chapters, 8, 9, and 10. And this, that's 11, that's 4. I don't pretend to be able to touch all of it at one sitting. But there's so much here, and it's so good. This is the kind of thing you need. I don't know how y'all react to when you listen to Alexander Scorby. I don't know how your mind works, but just a little thing will get me, and it's like, I need to go look at that. And when I start looking at that, all this other stuff pops out. And you just realize how good the Lord is with the power of the spoken word, delivering to you the power of the written word. And it's just awesome. I highly, you know, I don't know how y'all operate when you're doing that. I just share you that because it has always blessed me. And I'd hope that in turn it blesses y'all. I wouldn't know what to entitle this as I'm loading it up this afternoon, but I would just say the Lord is good and his promises are true and they're real, and there's more than one witness. And it's over and over again. Whatever your affliction, whatever your problems are, he's bigger than all that. Bigger than all that. Commit yourself to him. Let him be your ruler and savior.
This time you'll have 100-fold,
yeah.
You look at family Christ that we have.
Yeah.
Yes. You look at the what you inheriting in His kingdom. You know, we got family in Texas. And
yeah.
Vermont.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We got. I mean, come on. I mean, and the people that
you need.
Do you want me?
I mean, you can come on up. I mean, I'm not anchored here.
I saw that one part where Paul is talking about, and let me turn to it. Well, Mark is talking about it. Where was that? Come on.
Tell me
with persecutions, and in this life you'll 10:30.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. But he shall receive, you know, when Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses, brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions in the world to come to eternal life." You know, and I was just bringing up the point, you know, when we come to the cross, you're talking about that Luke 14, and you say, you know, when they hate not his mother, brother, sister, father, and not in his own life also, cannot become my disciple. But when you do that, when you make that choice and you come to him and you become his disciple, sold out for him, man, I can take a look when I did that. I can take a look at what I have. I'm staring at all you right now. I got brethren and fathers and sisters in the Lord in Vermont and Texas, and these people aren't loving me with the worldly love that Philios love that will send you to hell. They're not loving. They're loving me with an agape love of Christ. They want the best for me. You know, and I look at what the Lord's done, I make that choice and look at the blessings that the Lord has given all of us here. You know? Man, that's more than we can ever ask for. So we lay down the garbage, the flesh and the stuff that keeps us back from the Lord, amen. We talk about that right eye offending, cut it off, cut that crap off, and look what He gives you, something so much better. And we can see it out here right now. It's right in front of our faces. So that promise is as true as ever. And it's evident before our face as I speak. Amen?
Amen.
So I wanted to bring that point up. That hit me like a ton of bricks when I was sitting there. And it's a blessing. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to close this out.
Paul says he's done. Told me to close this out. Father, I thank you for your sermon today. I thank you for showing up. I thank you for being there for us, Lord. We're so freaking undeserving, it's not funny. But yet again, it shows us how good and loving. And in you there's light and no darkness at all. And we praise you for that and we thank you. Lord, forgive us all. Renew our spirits. Create in us a clean heart. That we may move forward to you, taking ground for you in your name and in your will. In Jesus' name, amen.